Hey, how's it going? Episode 15 of the I Want Practice podcast. Today is Friday, August 15th, 2025. I am here with Ryan and Joe. Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's happening?
Good. Wonderful Friday.
Yep. Fun Friday so far. Joe's had a great day, I believe.
Just marvelous. Yeah. It was good.
All right. So this is probably going to come out early next week. So we're going to talk about Stop 9.
Believe so.
Yep. Stop 9 for the Bassmaster Elite Series, La Crosse, Wisconsin.
The final one.
So MLF is done for the year after stage 7. We are now in stop 9 of Bassmaster to finish out the season. This is going to be an interesting event, not only because it is the last one, but Angler of the Year tied up between Trey McKinney and Chris Johnston. So I know you guys were heavy favorites on Chris Johnston last time for stop 8. What do you guys think will happen between them this time?
Chris Johnston going to pull it out.
Oh,
I mean,
you got to give him the experience.
I mean, he's definitely got the experience up there, which Trey's from Illinois.
Yep.
Knows how to fish shallow, knows how to fish grass, even though everybody on Facebook says that the only thing he knows how to do is live scope, but he does know how to fish.
And that's shallow. Just not true. But
that's not.
And Chris has got kind of a partner.
Yep.
So two heads together in practice.
Yeah.
For one common goal, which would be him to win that again. So
how long has Chris been in the league now? League?
The Elite Series. The Elite Series. Yeah,
sure. How long has Chris been a pro?
He came over in the merge, I believe. So that would have been like 2020 was probably his first season. Mm.
So he's got to, because this is Trey's second year. So, but.
Well, I guess it was 2019, I think would have been his first year.
So this is going on what, let's just say, is sixth or seventh year, something like that.
How many times have they been to La Crosse?
So they had an Open Series. Oh, okay. I was about to say Open had one last year, but the last Elite Series was 2022.
Yeah.
And he almost won that one. He
got
came
second.
Up. Yep. Came up second, 4 ounces short to. Who won that one?
Brian Schmidt.
So if we want, we can talk about the event and then get into our predictions, or we can do vice versa. What do you guys think?
Either or. I think it's going to be, we talk about the event. I think it's going to be a crapshoot. I mean, there's going to be a lot of stuff going on. Lots and lots. Big place.
There always is there. And that's why it's really good. A really good tournament venue, I think. Is you got smallmouth, you got largemouth, you got backwater fish, you got river fish, you got wing dams, you got some of the best frog fishing you'll ever experience in your life. You've got, you know, you can do it all. The biggest thing that I'm curious to see is we know a lot more about live scope now. I'm curious to see how much it's going to play there.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it is still a river system. It's a shallow water fishery, all that. But I mean, even in river systems anymore, it still plays.
I agree with you. I think the variety definitely sets La Crosse apart from everywhere else, because it does really feel like that you can just about do anything here, especially with those back channels being in play, river system's going to be in play, like Ryan said, but I think it's going to be interesting to see the choices that these anglers make, especially with, I think there's going to be some rain as well next weekend. I know it's early and it feels like the weather channels never get it right, but it says it's supposed to rain all in La Crosse, Wisconsin all next week. So maybe they get it right. Maybe it just rains the whole week and it's the water's messy. I don't know. What do you guys think on that?
I mean, if that's going to be the case, you're going to see, you know, guys from a buzz bait, guys throwing some more reactionary stuff, maybe going a little bit faster than just throwing a frog, but it plopper, stuff like that, it outside edge of stuff, maybe not be right up underneath that duckweed, and it'll be a little bit different. And it might screw the smallmouth up if it's like that. Maybe not. Maybe they'll jam. This is a wild one. Like,
if it rains as long as it doesn't rain too much, they'll catch them. Mm-hmm. That place, like when it rains, they feed because gets the current going. It gets all the life, all the bugs, all the everything. You know, you're talking like that whole Goose Island area on Pool 8. Like that's just all one big backwater swamp, basically. Mm-hmm. So like everything just comes alive. Whereas if it was 90 degrees and hot and sunny, like everything kind of just stales out.
Yep. Yeah. And you can take this with a grain of salt because obviously the weather will change and the predictions will change. But as of Friday today, it said that it's going to rain Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, essentially all day. And then Thursday, Friday, it's supposed to be cloudy. And then Saturday, Sunday, more rain. Again, those days are probably liable to change. But I mean, it's going to rain all practice. And then Friday, Saturday, or Thursday, Friday, who knows what will happen. The weekend, who knows what will happen.
They might get so much rain that it may not even affect them for the first 2 days of the tournament. And then you have somebody that their water will just start to break down and get dirty and their stuff will get worse and worse as the event goes on. Mm-hmm. Or better. But
and you're talking fluctuating water levels potentially and all that in a lot of those places. If the water comes down, you can run out of water really quick. And a lot of those places, the fish will change so much as the water's coming up as well. And there's a lot of times where you can't get far enough, mm-hmm. you know, like they just keep on going.
As far as the variety goes, what do you guys think the mentality is going into it for these anglers of seeing like all these other guys trying all these things? What is the first approach into an area that has such a variety?
I just think you're going to have guys who, I'm not going to say for the first time this year, but that place offers shallow water fishing even in August.
Yep.
So people are just going to be, I don't want to say happy to fish, but they're going to be fishing the way they want to fish.
Yep.
Instead of looking at a screen and doing all that stuff and still be able to compete, not looking at a screen. So it's going
to
be a good one.
I think they're going to need to have to pick a pool because 7, 8, and 9 are going to be in play.
Yep.
And at that place, you can spend a lot of time, a lot of wasted time.
You waste a lot of time.
Trying to see different areas and everything. So I think picking a pool, sticking with it, trying to figure that pool out is going to be a key because it's just, I mean, you can spend 3 days on Pool 8 and never see all of it. Just like I said, that every time I've been there, the Goose Island area just amazes me because it's literally a maze back there. And then you come around one corner, you're like, wasn't I just there? And then you look at your map and you're like, no, I'm nowhere close to where I've been mm-hmm. because it all looks so similar, but it's also different at the same time.
Yeah. And I was looking at the map earlier today. So where they're launching out of is the main river system, right? Mm-hmm. They're launching right into the river. And then just south of them, it breaks off into those back channels and the river system and those back channels feed directly into that. I don't even know what you would call it, but it's just like a massive pool that it's just like wide open. So it's going to be interesting to see where everyone goes. And I think all of that is within like 7 miles of each other, like from where they're launching to that wide open area, you have all that in between. So it's going to be interesting. Let's go ahead and get into our predictions if we want. So Ryan, do you want to lead us off with your top 10?
My top 10 pick is Austin Felix.
Ooh.
Minnesota guy. Got a lot of experience up there on the river. Some of his notable finishes, the 3 professional level events that he's fished there. Dating back to 2017 FLW Tour, he came in 7th place. The 2022 Elite Series, he was 23rd place. The 24 Open, he was 30th place. So never been outside of the top 30. He's sitting good as far as classic cut. I think he's in 31st in Angler of the Year. So he's inside that cut, but he's still got to catch him to maintain that classic qualification. So, and he's a guy that can do a little bit of everything. Like he's a finesse guy. He can power fish with him. Like he's a grass fisherman. He can do a little bit of everything. So I look for him to have a good tournament.
What's the cutoff for Classic?
40.
Is it 40th? Okay. Yeah, he should be fine then. So you have who? Austin Felix?
Austin Felix for the top 10.
Okay.
My pick is Seth Fighter.
Okay. Why?
Always with the why. He can do both. I think he's extremely comfortable there. And I think he's going to have a good tournament. I really do.
He's done well there in the past.
He has. He can just do it all.
That tournament saved his Elite Series career. I think it was maybe 2019 or something, the time they were there before 2022.
Was it close to the cut line?
Yeah, he was going to get kicked out, and he had to finish so high, and he ended up getting second, I think. Saved his whole entire Elite Season career, and that was kind of what kicked his career off.
Wow. Okay. Do you have anything else?
No, that's I'm good. Okay.
So Seth Fighter.
Yep, top 10.
Right.
The Fighter Man.
I have Pat Schlapper.
Good pick. Good
pick. Wisconsinite.
Good pick.
Only because, so Pat has 3 wins to his name on the Bassmaster side. Has he ever fished FLW, MLF, anything like that?
Not that I'm aware of.
I didn't see anything, but one of the wins he has is this year's Elite Series on Sabine River. Now the final weight was like 38 pounds or something like that.
A win's a win. We don't talk about the weight.
A win is a win. It was on a river system. Granted, it's down south in Texas, so it probably doesn't fish at all the same, but you got to think there's some form of element that kind of follows it around in a river system. So I've got him coming in the top 10.
Strong pick.
Let's move over to the winner's side. I kind of feel like we might have all the same pick, but
because you looked at my notes.
Well, I saw yours, but
cheater.
I don't know. Joe, why don't you kick us off for winner?
So my winner on this deal is going to be BP, Brandon Polinick.
Never mind. Okay.
A little redemption.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You want to talk about it?
Just another versatile guy.
Smallmouth,
largemouth, do whatever. He's comfortable there.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I think he's my guy. And he's obviously he won the first event of the year, but then I don't want to say he went a little stale, but he's getting some traction. He's fishing good.
Yeah. He's coming off a top 10 at St. Clair.
Yep.
He's
got history there.
Yeah. That's my pick.
Awesome.
He stood the chance to blow a tournament out there.
Mm.
And got DQ'd.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
It was probably like 2016, maybe.
Oh, okay.
Time frame, somewhere in there. First day, he was leading. Second day, weighed in, was leading. Like, it was, as Joe would say, his tournament to lose.
Mm.
And then he got a call late at night that he had been protested because Michigan has a stupid law that you can't cull across state lines. And where he was at was right on the state line. His boat drifted across the line, and he culled a fish in the state of Minnesota, which is against the law, and he was disqualified for that day's catch.
He had big smallmouth, didn't he?
Yes. He was catching them all up there between between the Black River and Pool 7.
That's a dude.
On a current break.
That is such a dumb rule. That is so stupid.
Yeah, I mean, that's an outdated rule.
It is.
I think it got changed.
Okay.
If it hasn't gotten changed, like, they've definitely talked about changing it and acknowledged that it is an outdated law,
mm-hmm.
which, cool part about that, little history. So that knocked him way down to get into the Classic because obviously he was disqualified a day's catch.
Right.
So he had to go to the St. Lawrence River that year, which was the last tournament of the year. And I think they were out of Messina or somewhere way up north. And that was before everybody was making these runs to the lake.
And Waddington.
It was out of Waddington. And he ran all the way to the lake. He was one of the only guys that ran all the way to the lake.
You ran Henderson.
That was when you could win and you're in. And that was his only chance to get in the Classic. Ended up winning the tournament.
Wow.
I remember that like it was yesterday.
Yeah, me too. Like that was.
It was only nine years ago, you know.
It was an awesome, awesome deal, like storybook type deal.
Rough boat ride.
Yeah.
Like it was, yeah.
I think he was going like 109 miles or something like that.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
It was wild. Is that accurate, 109?
I'm not exactly sure. On the, no.
On in the that neighborhood?
It was rough enough that it looked like 109 miles. Yeah. Like I can remember that, the video stuff from that. It was, yeah.
Just curious, what were you doing in 2016? Very briefly.
I was a junior in college.
I was a senior in high school.
Dude, I don't even know. I don't even know what I had for breakfast.
He was getting his AARP card.
Getting those deals on hotel rooms. That's right.
So you've got BP winning.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I have the one and only Chris Johnston.
Ooh.
Okay.
We've kind of already touched it. He got second last time he was there.
Yep.
Second in Angler, or actually tied for first in Angler of the Year.
Yep.
Still got momentum. Not like he had a bad tournament at St. Clair. He's got the history again.
When you come in 12th.
Yeah.
It's like and everybody's thinking he's going to win.
Yeah.
He comes in 12th and everybody's like, oh man, he sucked.
Washed. Wow, what a fall off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like had a good tournament. Obviously still on that roll that on that heater that he's on. So, and I mean, I'd like to think, like Joe said, anything that Corey's got, Corey's going to catch his fish and then give whatever he needs to Chris.
Yeah. I also have Chris Johnston. So I'll just say whatever points Ryan made, ditto.
We should have let you go first and give your points.
Well, that's why I wanted you to talk first.
It's all premeditated. Yeah, cheater.
Hey, yeah, what you said, I agree with.
Yeah.
Thanks. So, yeah,
Chris. How do you think it's going to be won?
Probably fishing.
Yeah. Good call.
Probably through 4 days, two on a weekend.
What's the technique? You gave us a technique on the last one.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you said brush piles.
Oh, yeah. That was two episodes ago.
No, well.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right, well, let's make it easier for you. Spinning rod, or will be one on a spinning rod or a baitcaster?
Spinning rod.
Wrong.
No.
Jeez.
Oh, it'll be on a spinning rod.
Wrong.
Man, I literally put one on a tee so you could hit it out of the park.
Yeah, spinning rod. Why do you guys say no?
Because I've been to lacrosse.
Oh, see, I've never been to lacrosse.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to say something. I've never been to lacrosse either.
Mm.
And it's not going to be
that's already a better argument than his.
Not going to be one on a spinning rod.
Okay, so baitcaster. There you go. That's my final answer. Baitcaster.
Love it.
Perfect.
Braid or fluorocarbon?
Yeah, well.
Or mono. Don't hate on the mono.
No, it's not going to be on mono.
So Matt Robertson is not going to win the tournament, is what you just said.
Matt Robertson, I don't think he is going to win because I think Chris Johnston is going to win.
He just had a baby.
Yeah, baby pattern.
He just had a baby.
What'd you say?
Baby pattern.
Oh.
That's a legit thing. Like you have a baby and then you win the next Elite Series tournament.
Really?
Yep. It's happened multiple times.
Congratulations to Matt Robertson. I mean, this is great.
Good job, dude.
Yeah.
Congrats. You did it.
Yep.
You did it.
That's his kid number
one. Yep.
I thought he already had a kid.
Not that he knows of.
All right. Yeah, Chris Johnston to win. as far as Angler of the Year, so Trey McKinney winning the last event ties up Chris Johnston and him at 690 points. Kyoyo Fujita at third at 650, and then Jay
Shakurit.
God, see, I still started with the P and I just couldn't get it. Shakurit.
You can't even look at the last name when you're trying to pronounce it.
Well, though, I'm sitting here looking at it, and it doesn't make sense to me. But Jay Shakurit, now that you've said it, I got it.
Just for the record, think of like every like telemarketer person that calls that dude.
Yeah.
Like, what do they call him?
Like JP.
Hey, Mr. J. Like, what? Like
what is that? Like,
there's no way.
What is that accent?
I don't know. Yeah. But it's just like, what are you going to say?
It's like a hybrid.
What do you say?
Hey, my name's Jeff.
Jay Shakurit at 648, Kyoyo Fujita at 650. So this is gonna be an interesting one. There's a lot of close numbers. Obviously we have Chris Johnston winning it, so he's gonna win Angler of the Year as well.
If he wins the tournament, I can guarantee you that he will win Angler
that's
of the Year.
That's what I'm saying.
That's bold.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'm saying we have that, Joe, because you don't have Chris Johnston winning. What's your thoughts on Trey McKinney versus Chris Johnston?
I think I gotta go with Chris. Like I said, he's got two boats practicing, and it's I'm not going to say it. You want me to say it. It's his to lose. I'm not going
to
say it.
I don't want you to say that.
Okay.
I've looked it up since then.
Good talk.
Still don't get it. Yeah. So that'll be interesting. Now, as far as Kyoya Fujita and Jay Shakurit, they're only 2 points off. What is the differential in points as far as like placements go? So like if Jay and Kyoya come in side by side, like if Kyoya comes in 20th and Jay comes in 21st. Is that much of a point spread or is that two points?
1 point. One point for every place.
Okay. Yeah. So Jay just needs to finish three spots over Kyoya to get third.
So how many points does Jay have?
648. And Kyoya has 650.
And Chris and Trey have 690. So, I mean,
so it's between
They'd have to fall on their flat face for one of them to win. I was going to say, I mean, Jay, like, stands a very good chance to do well up there too. Like he's a Minnesota guy. He could do really well in this tournament, but I mean, to have Trey and Chris both fall flat on their face and him catch them, like that's probably not going to happen.
Let's just call it a flat number. Well, I'm trying to think. There's no way. Jay would have to win it and they would have to come in. Let's see.
I mean, it's 40, possible.
46 sure. or worse.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible, but I just don't see it happening.
There's only three positions, in my opinion, that matter in this last tournament. First in points, 40th in points, and 70th in points.
Yeah, that's everyone's looking at. Yeah. I didn't even look at Angler of the Year standings. I don't even know who's in 39th, 40th, 41st.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know who's looking at that classic bubble, but obviously this is a big tournament for a lot of people because a lot of people may be done fishing the Elite Series after this. Well, a lot of people will be done fishing the Elite Series after this.
Yeah. And that's something we'll have to talk about as well on once this is finished up, the Bassmaster side and also MLF side, because they're doing a cut.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting, but
I'm excited to hear what you guys think about total weight for the tournament.
Oh, yeah.
You kick us off here, Don.
I forgot about that. So I originally had this higher by about 6.5 pounds.
Big number.
But then I looked at the forecast. I'm kind of banking on it raining. I don't think it'll be as high, but I still think it'll be up there. I have it at 62 pounds and 14 ounces as final... day four final weight for the winner. I think with it raining.
What was the number? 62 what?
62.14. I think that's averaging 15 almost. Well, that's 15 pounds, 11 ounces, 12 ounces a day. And I think that'll get it done.
So you're thinking that the rain is going to hurt the bite?
No, I just think it'll be interesting because I think there will be a wider variety of people getting caught off because of the rain, because there's not a lot of, and you guys will correct me if I'm wrong. There's not a whole lot of big fish in the Mississippi River around La Crosse, right? Like there's going to be a lot of 2 pounders, a lot of 3 pounders.
You catch a five.
Yeah. And I mean, like
you're right.
That's a giant.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. There's going to be a lot of 3 pounders caught. There might be somebody who catches like 2 4-pounders and they're going to take a top 10 spot super early. So I don't know. I just don't think the weights are going to be too crazy. I initially had it at 69 pounds, 2 ounces, but I kind of went more on the conservative side. We'll just see.
Sure.
So Joe, what do you think?
What's my number? 66.9 is my number.
Dude, you just like Price is Right-ed me.
Oh no.
The price is wrong.
Yeah.
What do you got?
66.8.
Oh my God. That's hilarious. So I still would have been over by about 3 pounds.
Someone's going to catch a 20 pound bag.
You think so?
Yep.
I was thinking somebody might hit like a 19 and a half bag on like day three or something like that.
Someone's going to catch a 20 pound bag, which 20 pound bag there is. I mean, that's catching.
It's massive.
Yeah. But I think it can be done. I think with the evolution of the knowledge of LiveScope and not just catching suspended fish, I think seeing grass lines and that kind of stuff is going to allow someone to catch a bigger bag.
And these guys have gotten so much better. Like,
yes.
You can even take the electronics out of it.
Yep.
They've gotten so much better in 3 years than the last time they were. It's they're scary good.
Yeah.
Scary.
And I mean, like you were talking about, if it is rainy and it is cloudy up there, they're going to be chomping.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It'll be interesting. I think, I'm not going to give too much away, but I think that,
aren't you supposed to give stuff away in a podcast?
I think that's exactly what we're trying to do.
Well, I have some insider information on that. Oh, so
you know, I love it. You know, I love it.
Well, there's a bunch of brush piles up there and
you suspect.
I know. But I think if it does rain as much as they're saying it is, it's going to be interesting to see whose plans change on the days it does rain versus it doesn't rain at all. And the approach. And I think that's going to be really interesting. This is going to be a fun watch, I think.
Oh, every time they go there, it's the best viewed tournament there is. Like, who doesn't like people catching fish on frogs? And
who doesn't like seeing somebody on a sandbar?
Yeah.
You know, like,
and Tom Montour coming to the rescue. By an
airboat. Like, yeah. This is a lot of variables. Who doesn't like, you know, get locked up by a barge?
Yeah.
Like, it's just cool stuff. Like,
yeah. Is there a lock system in play?
Yeah, because you're talking pool 7, 8, and 9. Oh, they're taking off out of 8. And so
that's right.
There's going to be people that go to 7 and 9. The last time they were there, there was some issues at the lock. So I'm sure we could see that again, obviously.
That's going to be fun to watch, man. I'm trying to remember. How long does it take for the lock to like move up and down?
I don't know with those locks. I mean, it's not an awful long time because they're not just huge locks, but it takes a while. And the biggest issue is barge traffic.
Yeah. Maneuvering around them.
Well, barge traffic takes precedence over
recreation.
Yeah. Yeah. So if there's a barge headed to the lock and you've got 10 guys that have to get down, they ain't going through until that barge goes through.
Mm. Yeah. That is going to be interesting. I didn't realize that they take precedence. I knew that would be something they'd have to move around, but yeah.
A lot of the times when there's a bigger tournament and stuff, they'll work with the lock masters and say, all right, I'll get everybody through here at 1:25. So everybody be here in the lock set up by 1:25 or whatever. And yeah, that may be a little bit earlier than you would want to come back, but you probably don't want to risk it.
Right. Yeah. It's going to be interesting. This is going to be a fun watch. I'll get those, I'll get that stuff posted up and then, hopefully, we're all somewhat correct in our predictions.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see. So that'll be fun. Do you guys have anything else to add?
I think we covered it.
I think we did.
I think it was a good one.
Hey, that was a good episode, guys. That was fun. Right.
Yeah. That's when you're supposed to hit the thing, dude. Yeah. You know I love that thing. Pressure's on. You got
it. I got to find it. Hold on. Woo! Yeah, that was good.
He hates it.
Well, it just takes up audio space, you know.
I especially like the one guy who is like,
he's louder than the rest.
Yeah, he's been there for a while.
Yeah,
yeah.
There is one guy in there that's just happy to be there.
Yeah. That's Joe.
Yeah, happy guy.
Not this morning. Joe was in a mood.
Come on, man.
What? Listen, we work right across each other. I want to make sure that you're happy because if you're happy, I'm happy.
Ultimately, yes.
And if
nothing gets thrown at you,
if you're mad, then you take it out on me. And that's not fair.
Hey.
All right. So that was episode 15 of I Won't Practice Podcast. We will do an episode to recap and then also talk about final standings for Angler of the Year, cut lines, who made it, who didn't, who's out. on both sides, the MLF and Bassmasters. So make sure to tune in, subscribe, follow our Facebook and Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. Joe, do you have anything else to add?
That's it. I'm done. We covered it.
Great. Ryan?
Have a great weekend.
Yeah, y'all have a great weekend.
Even though you'll be hearing this after the weekend, just
still have a good one.
Have a great weekend is any weekend.
That's right.
Hey, watch some fishing, watch some good fishing, and we'll see you later.